The recordings have started.
Thank you very much. And with this, we'd like to start this call number 67 on the 13th of November. And as usually, I'd like to welcome all of you to this call. And let's conduct a roll call now based on the Adobe Room. I myself am still trying to get into the Adobe. And so I would like my name to be added to the list of attendees. And for those who are not on the Adobe, please make yourself heard so that we can add you to the list, please.
Thomas, this is Becky Burr. I am still trying to get into the Adobe Room as well.
Welcome, Becky.
Hey, I'm same here. I got kicked out.
Thanks, Rosemary. Anyone else? So that doesn't seem to be the case. Thank you very much. Are there any updates to statements of interest? There don't seem to be any, which allows us to segue into the next agenda item, which are opening remarks. And we would like to use the opportunity to comment on and add to the note that has been sent out by Mathieu yesterday. You will remember that according to our original timeline that we've agreed in Dublin, we would issue a summary of our report with our recommendations to the community on the 15th of November, and that a full report offering all the rationale and information on the genesis of our recommendations, as well as the pros and cons and all the options that we evaluated on the 30th. As you will also remember and know from the traffic on the list, excuse me, can those who are not speaking please mute their minds? Thank you. That you will have noted that there are still primarily two areas where we are still trying to find consensus, and therefore some of you have commented that we should not publish a document that we called an executive summary without actually having all the work done that can be summarized. Also, there were some comments on the timeline suggesting that we should extend the public comment period by a certain number of days in order to give more time to the community and the chartering organizations to analyze our findings based on the full report that we still plan to publish on the 30th. We have, as co-chairs, responded to this, to these comments and criticism by clarifying that we will acknowledge that there are still open items, but that we would still proceed with the publication of a document summarizing primarily the updates on the progress made since we met in Dublin and during the Dublin meeting. You will remember that a lot of commenters said that it's hard for them to understand and follow our discussions and the recommendations that we're working on. So we agreed that we would produce a document that is much shorter than our full report, that does not speak to the history of our recommendations, but that just summarizes and explains the recommendations to the community in plain language. And that is the document that was circulated as an updated version a few hours ago. We know that this is all under very tight timelines, and we very much appreciate that you are looking at these documents in, at such short notice. But all in all, what we can say is that we're not going to give the impression to the community that all the recommendations are in final stage. We are also indicating that the full report will have all the detail that people need to do an in-depth analysis, but nonetheless, we will proceed with the publication of these findings. You will have seen that the document has been substantially revisited, taking into account a plethora of comments that have been made by you as well as by the legal advisor, and we will have the opportunity to discuss the document further on in this call. But this is just to let you know, to take away hopefully some of the concerns that were raised. We will not create the impression that this is a summary of our final report. So with respect to the second aspect of your concern on the timeline, we are still in the process of analyzing the impact of potentially extending the public comment period, and therefore we will not discuss the timeline today. We have a few days to discuss this because the full report, as you know, is only going to be published on the 30th. However, given the overall time constraints and knowing that on whatever project you're working, you will always have a crunch at the end, we suggest that we continue our work full throttle to get closure on the remaining issues and have a separate discussion on the time scale. So before we move to the next agenda item, let me just also put on record that the list of attendees on this call is unusually short, which is maybe due to the fact that a lot of you are still in Brazil for the IGF, where it is 3 a.m. in the morning, and also and we know that a lot of you are in Brazil at the moment, and we've also heard that the connectivity is not the best one in the hotels, as reported by some attendees. So we encourage you to reach out to your peers, update them on what we've discussed today, so that they can chime into the discussion. So with that, I'd like to move to the third agenda item, and that is the continuation of the discussion on the mission commitments and core values. There has been an awful lot of communication on the mailing list, very thoughtful contributions, and we thought that it would be high time for us to establish where we stand, because it looks like we actually have stopped discussing the areas that we tagged as uncontroversial or having consensus during the last call. You will remember that we sliced the issue and took stock of aspects of the mission commitments and core values, confirmed the consensus that we have with the group, and crystallized that there is basically only one bigger question that is still controversial and where we do seem to have diverging opinions in our group. And we've asked Becky to actually take a closer look at that, see where we stand, and maybe give us all a quick recap on what the background of the discussion on this remaining question is, so that we can ensure that we're all using the same terminology, that we're all having a common understanding on what contract means, what policy means, what the narrow mission means, what the enforceability of contracts and its implications on policy is, so that even if we do not have a full agreement on this item, at least we all know and can confirm that we fully understand and appreciate the position that other parts of the might take. Some of you have commented rightfully. Can I ask you to mute your microphones again when not speaking? And some of you have rightfully commented that at some point we will need to give guidance to the legal experts that are... can staff maybe identify which line is producing this noise? That would be great, because this is quite distracting. No, I have actually lost my train of thought. So that at one point we will need to give instructions to the legal experts to draft language. And for such briefing, it is imperative that we as a group are crystal clear on what we have in there in terms of substance and whatnot. So without any further ado, I'd like to hand over to Becky to give us a short introduction of where we are, set the scene, and then let's continue the conversation. Over to you, Becky.
Thank you very much, Thomas. I think that from the beginning, there has been a consensus with respect to the proposition that ICANN has a limited mission, that it was our goal to carefully describe and clarify ICANN's limited mission with respect to all of the aspects, with respect to names and numbers and protocols and the root server system. And indeed, I believe that we have succeeded in doing that. With respect to the names function specifically, there has been agreement from the beginning that ICANN's role, that ICANN has a specific mission, that ICANN should live within and act within that mission and act consistent with that mission, and that ICANN should not seek to regulate areas that are outside of its mission, and at the same time, I believe that there has been consensus that ICANN should have, as it has always had, the ability to enter into negotiated agreements with contracted parties, and that those negotiated, freely negotiated agreements should be enforceable, and that ICANN should have, as it has had from the beginning, the ability to impose certain policies on contracted parties in limited circumstances, as it has always had. And to that end, very early on, we agreed on a concept that ICANN should not regulate services that use the Internet unique identifiers or the content that such services carry or provide. And I think that at a high level, there has been for quite a long time consensus with respect to that concept. There has also been for quite a long time a robust debate about the terms that are used, the potential for unintended consequences, and an effort for many months, I think, to come to a sort of common vocabulary, a shared vocabulary, with respect to what we mean. And that shared vocabulary has been focused on what the term regulate means, and how that could possibly be over or under interpreted. A question about what we mean when we talk about services that use the Internet's unique identifiers. And a concern that has been expressed throughout that ICANN does, of course, enter into contracts with contracted parties, and that ICANN should have the ability to enter into those contracts and enforce those contracts in furtherance of its mission. Having said that, we have had a very, very robust debate on really trying to nail down the specifics of the, you know, to get beyond the concept and to get into the specifics of what we mean, and to ensure that we have a shared understanding of the concept, and to ensure that we are thinking through the consequences, potentially unintended, with respect to that. And so, while I think that it is fair to say that we've had consensus for a long time on the concept, we have had continued debate throughout this on the way that concept was articulated. Up on the in the Adobe Connect room, we have the language on the left-hand side from the second draft report, which is actually the language that was in the first draft report, with respect, with the exception of the language at the bottom in italics, which was language that was circulated and discussed in the aftermath of Dublin as an attempt to address and to clarify and to provide a common articulation of ICANN's role with respect to contracts. I think it is fair to say that our debate on the language, on the wording, on the specific words has continued. This afternoon, Greg Shatton circulated a proposed language that you see on the right-hand side of the page that I think there has not been a huge amount of discussion on it. What discussion there has been positive in the sense that it brings us together to a better articulation of our shared conception. So I think that, you know, what we are very much about here is we have an agreed upon principle. We are struggling with the words to describe that. I, for one, think that Greg's proposal moves the ball forward, and so to sort of further that discussion, I've put up the current language that's in the second draft report, and as I said, was in the first draft report. That language received both strong support for the concept and also strong concerns about the specific wording and how it might have unintended consequences. And I'm hoping that we can have a debate, a discussion, conversation, and input from folks on the telephone call with respect to the proposed language that we see on the right-hand side. As you will see, it endeavors to define services, which has been one sticking point with respect to which ICANN should not become a regulator. It does reiterate that ICANN shall have the ability to enter into and enforce agreements with contracted parties in furtherance of its mission. I would like to open the, based on just, you know, setting out the principles, and I think what I think is a lot of agreement and a struggle with words, like to open the floor to discussion as to whether the language on the right side helps us reach closure on the issues.
Thanks very much, Becky.
Go ahead.
That's been very helpful. And before we open it up for comments from your side, there's been some communication in the chat window already. for example, Eric has mentioned that the language commands received is unfortunate. So for those who see issues with just the words, but who are okay with the notion of what it wishes to describe, please just throw in alternative language for us to take a look at. But I guess the purpose of the exercise now is try to capture whether we are in agreement on the idea of the chat proposal that I think is now the most update version of where the conversation stands. And if we can, let's try to confirm in baby steps the areas of agreement that we can establish. So with that, I'd like to open it up for your comments. Not sure whether it's my Adobe Room only. The connection seems to be a little bit flaky, but I don't see any hands up. Can that possibly be true? So Greg's hand is up. Greg, fire away.
Thank you, Thomas. Greg Shatton, for the record. There's been some discussion in the chat about the parenthetical after the word services in the proposal under my name, although I'm not the sole author, just the one who sent out the email. In any case, the point of the parenthetical, and there's quite a lot of discussion about what was meant by services on the email threads, and there seemed to be a divergence in understanding what was meant by services, whether we're talking about a technical service such as a web service that runs on a web server, as an example, or are we talking about a class of business such as legal services, or obviously not legal services in the sense, perhaps, but about services in the kind of business or economic sense. As I, went through various, look back at what we've been trying to do, who drafting and various things, been my understanding that what we're talking about here is the first, which is a technological process. Trying to find the right way to express that, is challenging, especially in a parenthetical, but that's the sense that I have, and that's the sense that that's what it's supposed to be, not that we're regulating, business services which use the Internet's unique identifiers, but that's not what the reference is. There may be some disagreement on that, but in terms of trying to clarify what services means, I'm wide open to what the parenthetical might say, and Andrew Sullivan mentioned a couple of possibilities in the subsequent email, one of which I mentioned in the chat. Milton mentioned information services, but then I'm not entirely sure whether that describes a class of business or a class of technological process. So that kind of it begs the question. So that's the issue with the word services. Other than that, I think actually, I believe that what we've got here threads the needle between a number of different sets of concern. Thank you.
Greg, thanks so much. And let me also thank you for your continued efforts to bridge gaps with finding appropriate language. I'd like to take the opportunity now that you have your microphone unmuted for you to repeat for us what you thought the different understandings of the word service were. So you mentioned that, that you're not talking about legal services or, other content-related services probably. Can you maybe repeat the different understandings that you saw on the list on the word service so that we can put them into the notes section? And, even if it's a narrative type description, let's try to exclude those options and definitions of service that we agree we do not want to enshrine in the language. So even if we don't have a positive description of what we want to have covered, let's try to exclude and be crystal clear on what we don't want service to mean. Can you help with this?
Sure, I'll try. Was my mic muted at some point while I was talking? I don't quite understand, but I'm happy to repeat.
I was just saying that I want to take the opportunity while your mic is unmuted, i.e. while we have you there speaking to us,
for you to
help with this. I'm sorry for being clear.
Sorry, it's 1:30 in the morning, and I'm immune to nuance at this point.
You're doing great.
So basically, as I said, there's kind of two divergent threads as to what services means. One is, are we defining a class of businesses that offer services? And maybe try to exclude certain businesses that offer services that, again, might deal with differently. Or are we trying to mention a type of technological or technical process that runs on, that is, in essence, you know, connected to the Internet and uses the DNS to, you know, oftentimes to send and receive to signals or datagrams, or that is, in essence, a process that runs on a web server, for instance. You know, to give an example, an EG rather than an IE, in the case of a web service, the process by which, in response to a command from a user's web browser, calls on the various content and data and algorithms and the like, and then responds with a web page that is delivered to the browser. That type of service, is that what we're talking about? And it's my understanding, having worked through this, that what most people have meant when they've seen this, or at least when this was first drafted, and as it carried through, that what was meant was the technical process, and not a class of businesses. But there are definitely kind of at least two strains of thought as to what this might, you know, mean and should mean, and they're not really reconcilable in the question about whether we're talking about a technical service, a technological service that runs, you know, on a system, or are we talking about a service that people offer when somebody wants them to perform a service? So that is that's the question, and the parenthetical is imperfect, and you know, being someone who is more technical than some, but by no means a technologist, it's definitely imperfect, but at least it shows which path of those two paths we're headed down when we say services. If it can be better expressed, I'm all for it. But at least it shows where, you know, in my understanding, the understanding of a variety of people I've talked to from a variety of different communities, that was and is the intention. So that's the best reason to have the parenthetical in there, which is to show which of those two paths we're running down. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Greg. And as we move to Ellen, I think it's very important for us to understand these two dimensions of what service can be, because people came from different directions using these terms. If you think that there's a third component maybe to it, or that the term service has not been accurately described in the narratives offered by Greg, please speak up and let us know. As we progress with this conversation, I think once we have clarity on what the term service means, let's then proceed to discuss whether we want to have a positive or a negative demarcation in the language of what I can and what can't do. But let's keep that for in a few minutes, and let's establish first whether we have additional definitions that we need in order to do this demarcation exercise. So please make yourself heard in the chat or put yourself in the queue. And if we don't hear from you, we would take that the two facets of the term service are sufficient to describe the notion of what we want to put on paper here. Alan.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you all right.
Yes, we can hear you all right.
Good, thank you. Subject to the discussions that are going on here, from an overall point of view, I think ALAC is happy with the discussion, with the direction this is taking, but I wanted to reiterate that we have expressed a concern that as we go forward, there is at least a note to the people drafting the legal language that we want an explicit exclusion that the identifiers, specifically the top-level domain identifiers, that are ICANN's business are deemed not to be content for the purposes of this mission item. Thank you.
Thanks,
that's
Alan.
All.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Alan.
Anyone else?
Anyone else?
And again, if you're not speaking, please do mute your microphones. Alan, is that a new hand? No, it's not. So, Becky, now that we have these explanations on the table, I guess there has been some discussion in the chat as to whether we want to cover both or whether we use only one definition. Can we maybe try to boil that down a little bit more? I understand that, you know, in the mission statement, and that has been our approach to drafting, we would list the enumerated powers that ICANN has and not mention all the things that ICANN can't do. But in order to be able to give those instructions for the drafters, I think we need to be clear about what ICANN should and what ICANN shouldn't be able to do.
I think what we have been discussing for so long as, that we have been saying ICANN is to be a creature with enumerated powers, that is to say it has only those powers that are given to it. With respect to this clause, there is an additional for the avoidance of doubt, we want to be clear that ICANN does not regulate in a sphere that we are struggling to articulate clearly, but I think there is a sphere where we feel that ICANN should not articulate. So it's a bit of both things. It's enumerated powers. ICANN has the powers that are given to it, and with respect to this, there is a strong sense in the community that if we can articulate this correctly, there is a place where we want to say, for the avoidance of doubt, ICANN does not have the power to do a certain thing. So I think, to me, that the definition of services is really the only thing that we need to close on, because I believe that if we have clarity and agreement about the definition of services, and it does seem like this language moves us in that direction, that we can close this issue. So notwithstanding Greg's demurs on the parenthetical, that's where the issue is.
Thomas. So business troubles, Thomas. I want to have an opportunity to talk via an audio only. Is it possible?
Please do speak now. It's your opportunity. Sure.
Hello?
Yes, it's your turn, Cavus. Fire
yes.
away.
I'm sorry. I was listening to this debate for hours and hours. I would fully appreciate every effort, in particular, Greg. Thomas, please do not go to multiple definitions. One single definition, and please kindly do not call them definitions. If you want to talk about service, you put service in the text. You introduce an asterisk or footnote. And under asterisk and footnote, you mention the use of the term service in this provision is understood to mean and cover and put whatever you want. But one single description. It is difficult to define service because of its very large scope. Once again, my text is somebody take it out. I am not on chat, unfortunately. We could put asterisk above the service or any other things, and underneath saying that the use of this term in this provision is understood to mean and cover, and then you put what does it mean and cover. We don't define, we describe that. I'm very sorry I came in. Please accept my apology.
Don't you worry, Cavus. Thank you very much for your helpful contribution. I trust that the lawyers who are with us on the call today take good note of your suggestion on this drafting technique. So thanks again for that, and let's move to Andrew now.
Hi there. Thanks. I guess I'll just confirm this is working since the network from the Internet Governance Forum is surprisingly not internet-like. Okay, so the specific text that Greg has is, as we've been talking in the chat room, maybe could be refined some, and that's okay with me, that we're refining it. We can do that on the list. I don't think this is a great place to do wordsmithing, but it does occur to me, that there've got to be, since this is really just instruction to the lawyers, maybe what we could ask is just, parenthetical remark or something that says, look, if there's a standard definition for the technical service, the thing that you connect to on the internet rather than the business service, which is, I think, what we're trying to say here, that use that definition or something along those lines, because I think that we're in risk here of trying to, I've suggested on the list, the refinement that I was proposing effectively boils this down to every computer that's connected to the internet, and I don't know how helpful that is, but I'm not actually sure how to write this such that it's technically accurate and that doesn't turn into a computer connected to the internet. So that's the only worry I would have. So maybe we could put that sort of instruction to the lawyers in. I apologize if this isn't too coherent.
No, it's all fine. Thank you very much, Andrew. Anyone else? So I think that we're struggling to find the right words, but there seems to be increasing common understanding on the notion of what we're trying to say. So Becky, would you be in a position to confirm a direction in which we can take this? And make the lawyers think about language that is potentially technology neutral and still encapsulates the essence of what we're trying to describe?
Well, I think that, you know, I think that we can collect the words in the chat here, but I think that there seems to be comfort with the general direction of the language and the sense that's conveyed here, albeit with perhaps some tweaks necessary to make to ensure that it's technologically neutral. And I think that we can probably write that up using this language as the basis. And just a reminder for everybody, of course, we are not writing final bylaws language. We are writing, you know, directions and for the final legal drafters. So
Becky, can you...
I'm hearing more comfort with this language than, you know, more sort of general acquiescence that we are in the pointed in the right direction with this language than I've heard on any in any conversation about this before.
Becky, can you maybe confirm for us which aspects of the definition of service that we've established with Greg we would need to encapsulate?
Well, I think the definition that Greg has in here is sort of in general correct, but may need some fine tweaks as the conversation in the chat has proposed. I'm not sure exactly what you're asking me, but I think, you know, the direction that the language that Greg has proposed here seems to be moving us in the right direction with a large degree of comfort around the room.
Let me clarify my question. When at the outset of this discussion, we've asked Greg to clarify the two dimensions of the term service with respect to business, you know, or classes of business, and then the technical services. And I understand that there have been different views in the chat that have been expressed as to what dimension of this we need. Some said we would need both. Others were leaning more towards the technical service description. So since you've been in this discussion from the very beginning, can you confirm to us which of these dimensions you would like to see covered in the description?
First of all, it's not up to me to decide what language I would like to see covered in the description. I think that the language, it seems to me, should stand on its own, and I'm not sure why we need to split things up between business and technical if something, because what we're talking about is services, not service providers, right? So the question is, what is the service? And that is the software processes as described by Greg.
So that would be... And that's to be quite honest, that's also my understanding.
I don't see why we need to parse those two things.
So and this is my understanding too, looking at the at what's been expressed here and in other places, that we would need to find a technology neutral description of the technical processes, rather than classes of business that offer the service.
Well, I think that the point is, and Greg has just echoed me in this, what we are talking about is services, not service providers. So the question is, what is the underlying service, not what is the nature of the business? So I guess I agree with I agree with the way it is set up in this language here.
Yes, and I guess that what you just refined is a better description of what Greg, I think, meant by saying different classes of services, class of businesses. So I guess that's helpful. So I think we can confirm, and please let me know if you do not agree with this, that we're not talking about the service providers or the class of business that they're in, but that we're talking about the technical processes, the technical services, that we are looking for a technology-neutral description of this, but still, if we're using the technique that Cavus has suggested, for example, we could have examples of technology to illustrate what we mean by the definition that should then go, or by the language that should then go into the bylaws. Ellen, you've raised your hand.
Yeah, thank you. It dawns on me that when we're looking at two classes of service, someone may be offering a graphic design service over the web. Clearly, we are never saying we are going to be regulating the graphic design service. So at some level, we don't have to differentiate, because the higher level service is always carved out. But since the word has two different, very distinct meanings, it's probably better to be clear. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Ellen. And I think that these are excellent final words on this conversation. So I think this is as far as we can get during this call. And with that, I'd like to thank you all for your contributions and for bearing with us, for those who are not calling this their favorite item. And let's now move to the next agenda item, which is going to be chaired by Mathieu.
Thank you, Thomas. This is Mathieu Veil speaking. Hello, everyone. Our next agenda item is an attempt to summarize the discussions and the state of play on the stress test 18 discussion, as well as a discussion that we should have about how best to proceed with this discussion in terms of probably process. So there's been a very long history of debates and emails within our group about stress test 18, and I think we need to really acknowledge and the contributions continued all over the history of this group, from the stress test working party and in particular Cheryl and Steve, in trying to adjust to the various positions expressed on this topic, and being flexible about the way to accommodate this into the various reports that we've come through and the latest discussions. So these debates have really been circling about, it was first about the relevance and the rationale of the stress test. It's now, I think, somehow quite clarified. There's been a lot about the definition of consensus within the GAC, and about potential differentiation of treatment of advice that are supported by consensus or not. If we focus only on the recommendations that are stemming from this stress test, there was a recommendation in the first public comment. It had been significantly reviewed for the second public comment in August, after fruitful discussions took place in the Paris meeting. In the second public comment, this proposal drew a significant number of comments, a majority of which were in support, but there were four strong objections from governments, and which were later joined by others in the debate, but after the public comment closed. There was a very significant engagement taking place in Dublin around the GAC meeting, and this demonstrated the willingness to engage in discussions at a more appropriate level. And in Dublin, when we discussed the item in the CCWG, we decided that we would wait for GAC input before considering our options. After Dublin, probably a week or 10 days ago, Brazil introduced a proposal to our list, and this stemmed further debates. And I know that during the IGF in Brazil, some discussions took place between various stakeholders, not in informal manners. But my understanding is that the gap is not yet fully breached. So we have to make a decision about the way we are going to address this topic, which had been left for in our scorecard. It was mentioned as a standby, but I don't think we can afford to keep that status, and it's now important that we discuss how to move forward. This is especially important because obviously this issue is going to be looked into very carefully in Congress and by the NTIA, but also, and I think it's worthwhile reminding us, in many other countries where this topic has been given a lot of attention, and we need to ensure that the consensus we are getting is sufficient for the transition to be recognized globally. So in looking at the various discussions, especially the latest ones, I think we should not underestimate the level of commonalities that exist on this topic. The number one, I think everyone has recognized that the GAC should define its own rules. Everyone has recognized the value of working by consensus, including within the GAC, and that has been a strong input from the GAC. No one is suggesting in this debate that GAC advice should be based on simple majorities. It has been stated to the contrary by many. Everyone has agreed as well that GAC advice need to provide clear rationale. And finally, the ability for the board to disagree with GAC advice was repeatedly recognized once the board and GAC have tried to find a mutually acceptable solution. So that particular point is certainly something that is not being challenged in this debate. So that's a number of aspects that are getting common views. Where different views can step in is whether or not the a definition of consensus should be provided in the ICANN bylaws, whether or not the absence of objection is the only acceptable definition of consensus for that purpose, and whether or not that's part of the latest input from Brazil, the rule for the board to make a decision to act in a manner that's not consistent with GAC advice should be based on a two-third majority. I'm hearing someone, so please mute you. Mike, I'm almost done with my introductory remark. I promise it's going to open the floor. So those are the key items where agreement has not been reached so far. And we need to probably look at how we bridge this gap. so that we have a consistent proposal. In terms of way forward, I think there have been several proposals on the table so far. We, as co-chairs, we think it would be appropriate to convene a small group of the some of the key players, obviously, would be open, to assess existing options and the areas of agreement and disagreement so that the whole CCWG can be provided with a clear baseline of positions around the table and a list of options. And then we would have to discuss them and assess the level of consensus to define how, what is the way forward for our third report. So our proposal would be to set up quickly this small group to prepare a clear and comprehensive document that would serve as a basis for assessing this way forward as a group. And that's the proposal that I would put up for discussion right now. And obviously, if the summary that I have provided draws any significant comment or dissent, please, that's also the right time to raise this issue. And with that, I see that Thomas Schneider has raised his hand. So, Thomas, please.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me all?
Yes, I can hear you now.
I'm in Brazil at the IGF, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, so I hope my thoughts are clear and understandable technically and also a brain one. First of all, thank you for the discussion and exchanging the opportunity to discuss this. I just wanted to give a few comments regarding the gap communique and also the proposal by Brazil and the discussion on the list. So first of all, I think in case that was not clear, I think we should note that the GAC has spent intense efforts to come up again with a comprehensive input into the CCWG, this time on stress list 18. So what you have in the communique are elements on which the GAC agreed that these are elements that should be the basis of a solution on this issue. As you know, that many, and as you say, it's not just the 4 or 5 that have responded during this public comment period, but also others have clearly indicated on CCWG calls and other occasions that they were not, they didn't understand or agree to the specificity of Joshua Hallett, so on and so forth. I will not go into this detail. And many have expressed their unsatisfaction with the fact that in the first and in the second report, this objection by a number of GAC members has not been reflected in the report. So there is a clear expectation that the views of the GAC members and also others who support the concerns by the GAC and Stress 18 are clearly reflected in the third report. This is part number one. And with regard to the work and the discussions that are underway, there is an attempt from the GAC.
Thomas, it's yes? the audio line is very difficult to hear. And is there? So I don't know if there's a way for you to get a better audio line, and maybe we get back to you, or maybe if you want to summarize your key points so that we make sure that the whole group really understands where you're heading at, because I'm sensing in the chat that it's difficult for people to understand right now.
Okay, well, I'm in a hotel room in Brazil, so I don't have any other audio line, but maybe it's better like this if I speak more slowly. Can you understand me now? if I talk directly
for me,
to the microphone.
It's average, in short sentences it can be, I think, a bit better.
Okay, let's try. If it doesn't work, please tell me. Okay, so I was referring to the fact that the GACEX, the expectation that its concerns, which are shared by also members of the community from outside the GEC, are truly reflected this time in the third report. And I was also saying that the GEC consensus input to the CCWG via the GEC communique was meant as giving elements that the GEC agreed on that should be part of a solution on stress test 18. This is a compromise that is based on the fact that some governments did not, or many governments actually did not see the a reason or relevance of the stress test 18 and of its outcome. So there has been a lot of movement actually from both sides in the GAC towards consensus elements. So there is an expectation that these consensus elements are taken into account in the third report. Can you follow me so far?
So far you've said that there's an expectation that the GAC communique from Dublin is taken into account in the third report.
Yes, okay. And the proposal by Brazil is a proposal or is the start of a discussion in the CCWG triggered by Brazil and now followed up by a lot of other people that these elements should be turned into what I would call an alternative version or an alternative formulation of stress test 18 and the according bylaw changes for the third report. And this is the first attempt of Brazil. Others have joined in, so the discussion is ongoing. So I think we should build on this. As I said, the Brazilian proposal is a proposal from one country to start the discussion based on the elements of the GAC advice, the GAC communique. And actually, I would think it's a good thing your proposal to set up a subgroup, maybe a constructive one, to use the short time that we have between now and the finalization of the third report to engage in such a discussion and try and come up with an alternative text to the existing stress test 18 in rationale and also its outcome. I'll stop here for the time being and I'll try to communicate also on the Adobe, because that seems to be easier to understand for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Thomas. And thanks for your comments, your kind comments on the approach. Pedro, you're next. Pedro, we can't hear you so far. If you are speaking, Pedro, we still cannot hear you. Okay, I'm seeing that you are typing in the chat. You have a problem with your microphone. Okay. So Pedro will try to come back. Are there any other views on either the summary or the proposed approach? Greg, would you like to chime in while Pedro is trying to reconnect? Greg?
Sure. Thanks. I think, you know, looking at Pedro's, or looking at the actually, yeah, Pedro da Silva's suggestion of language. I think that, with one exception, we, the issues are more around drafting. Maybe the removal of words will make every effort. But otherwise, I think we're talking about drafting, except for one kind of very clear and essentially binary issue, which is the request new to this group, although not the first time that ICANN has considered the concept of a two-thirds vote to reject GAC advice, or at least GAC consensus advice. And I'm not sure what large or small group can kind of, what small group can do much with that, that this group as a whole can't do. And that's kind of a fairly, you know, clear issue. The GAC itself has reached consensus that it would like to have that two-thirds vote. I don't know if any other group has reached any level of support for that. It just seems to me that the rest of it, I think, is some drafting concerns, but this is, I think, a substantive concern. I'm not sure that a drafting subgroup will really help us much with that concept. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. And I do agree with you that it's not a drafting issue. It's a more substantial one. And as such, if there's a point to a subgroup, it's certainly not to draft a particular solution, because I don't think we are there yet, but rather to provide the whole CCWG a perspective on the various options that is accessible to everyone without having been deeply involved into this, in order to make a decision that is sufficiently informed by all about the ways to proceed in our third report, taking all the elements of the recent discussions into account. So that's that would be the point, at least, of this group, certainly not to provide a silver bullet solution or in a subgroup. Pedro, I don't know if you have been able to reconnect. I'm seeing some volunteering for the group in the chat. I have Steve, Debianco, Megan, Brett. Okay. And Greg is right. There are. Thanks for counting the 86 emails on the thread, but that's only one thread on StressTest 18, and I guess there are many, many more if you go back in time. But I think summarizing views is accessible. It's not that complex. There are ways, and that's a challenge that I think we can take up. Okay, so Brenda is trying to reach out to Pedro, but it's currently not working. So my suggestion is, seeing no other hands and taking into account the chat's volunteering of Greg, is that number one, we'll call for volunteers for this group on the list, and we'll ask staff to draft an email so that we can have those people who are not on the call today join it if need be. And we'll try to organize a work swiftly so we can consider our way forward with StressTest 18 in a timely manner once we get these volunteers. Uh, Pedro, are you with us? Because if not, I will move to the next agenda item. Yes, we have Pedro. Please, Pedro. Okay, so that was a yes, go on. So that's going to be unfortunately difficult for Pedro to speak up, but I'm sure he will participate to the discussions as he's been doing so far in a very constructive manner, and I look forward for his contribution. So with that, I think that's laying out the perspective about how to address this important discussion, and I will now move, actually, if in your agenda, I will move back to agenda item number 3 about the summary document. Thomas provided a very clear overview about what happened between the first and second versions. As he said, we took into account as many of the comments as possible, obviously not the conflicting ones. What we've tried to achieve is avoid some of the repetitiveness that had been flagged in the first version, make sure we clearly represent that the issues that are still outstanding, that's including obviously stress test 18, and ensure clarity about what we are reflecting about the direction of our work. Comments on this document are possible until 17 UTC today, but I want to stress very clearly that we will not take line edits into account. What we are looking for, because it's just a formal update on our group, it's not the executive summary, it's not the final report, and what we are looking for is whether there is anything that is misrepresented from our proposals that we need to check, and that's the type of comments we are looking for if need be. Obviously, we're not looking for extra work. Staff has been doing an amazing job at taking all the improvements into account in a very quick turnaround, and I think they really, really deserve our applause for that. So the point of this agenda item is really to flag any potential issues with this formal update document, and ensure we have clarity on this. And I see that Kavu's hand is up, so please.
Yes, my hand is up. Matthew, since 10 minutes ago I want to talk. The document of Brazil perhaps reflects the views of Brazil. In the GAC, if you look into the communique, there is the last paragraph mentioned, GAC engaged to discuss the matter with a view to find a more reasonable solution which satisfies everybody. Nothing has been done by GAC up to now. They just concentrate on what they sent you months ago. This is not what is expected. Thomas Schneider is expected to convene in one way or other, virtual or non-virtual, a group, a meeting, in order to come up with a softened definition or description of stress 18, which satisfies all concerned parties, GAC and non-GAC. This is still pending in GAC. So we do not expect something just that GAC has not done his job yet. This is unfortunately missing from them. Brazil sending his own view, which is part of the communique. But please read the last paragraph of communique and ask Thomas Schneider, what has been done on that paragraph? We cannot stick on one single view. We have to work toward each other. We have to find a consensus, a solution, and agree. so, and then we were expected that to communicate the result of that discussion yet to be carried out to CCWD before you publish your third published comment. That is missing. Please call or tell Schneider. I don't know whether Thomas Schneider hear me or not, but that is something yet to be done. I'm sorry to come in because I'm on audio only. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kavusin. I think this call is proceeding very much like our group. It's not linear. It's going back and forth. And that's what we could call agile meeting management, because now we have Pedro, and maybe Pedro can speak to it as well. Pedro.
Yes, I think you can hear me now.
Perfectly, Pedro.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sorry for that problem. Well, basically, I think Thomas said most of the things I wanted to say. I wanted to reiterate the fact that our proposal has been made with the intention to translate into concrete bylaw language the requirement that the considerations, the statements made by the GAC in the communique. And I wanted to stress that these considerations that have been put forth in the Dublin communique have been based on requirements or on consensus. So basically, all governments that were in the GAC sessions devoted to this in Dublin agreed to that language. Meaning governments that were originally in favor of stress test 18 and those who were not, as a compromise solution, have found this language to be acceptable. So I think this is very important to stress. And I really, truly hope that this language will be used as a base for discussion within the drafting group that is going to be set up now. And by the way, I think that is a noble suggestion. I really think it's a way forward, and I'm happy to be part of it. With regards to Cavu's comments right now, if you look at the precise language of the communique, you will find not only the sentence that the GAC will continue to work on the issue, but it also clearly states that the GAC members will continue to work within the CCWG to finalize the proposal for the accountability. And this includes, of course, also the specific issue of stress test 18. So based on this spirit that we have Brazil as a CCWG participant, has, let's say, tried in good faith to provide language that would initiate the debate and really come up with alternative text for stress test 18 that would, let's say, take into account all the concerns that have been expressed by all, let's say, stakeholders so far. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pedro, and I'm glad we managed to reconnect you so that you can state your view here. I think we had turned the stress test 18 page, hoping for an ability to close this in the next, I mean, shortly. Regarding the document, the formal update document, I'd like to restate what I was saying earlier, that 9 edits are not what we're looking for, but rather potential issues of representing adequately our proposals, since it is an update that we're providing in order to engage and reach out to the community and facilitate understanding of the progress we've made in Dublin. and remind that the deadline for such comments will be set at 17 UTC today, so that we can publish in the proposed time frame of Sunday. I'm having some difficulty with my AC room. It's now back. Cavus, is that an old hand or a hand related to this summary formal update document? Probably an old hand then. Tijani, you're next.
Thomas mentioned that you sent a few hours ago the modified text. I am afraid I didn't receive it. I don't know. There is perhaps problems of emails, but I didn't receive it. Can you please send it again?
What we'll do is if we put I think it's on the archives on the mailing list, obviously. So can staff please paste the link in the chat? But Tijani will issue it again anyway for you. We can do that in private as well, if you have specific issues, obviously.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Brett, I think you were commenting earlier in the chat and have about previous comments not incorporated into the draft. I had paid attention to your comments, and so they were incorporated. So maybe if you could be a little more specific about what comments you think has not been taken into account, that would be appreciated. Because I do remember looking at several of you. But they are supposed to be taken into account. And the human rights language, I don't think we had double-checked that it did not mention human rights protocols. I suggest we take offline where it does, because our intention was to align with the latest discussion, and you were right to mention that there was mentions of this, and we couldn't find it, and I know Sabina is confirming that she cannot find it either, so maybe there's a versioning issue here. But your point was well taken. If there's no other comment, I would like to now turn back to Thomas for the AOB and closing remarks. Thomas?
Thanks very much, Mathieu, and this can likely be very brief. Let me ask you whether there are any comments or any AOB for this call. Cavus, I trust that's an old hand. So with that, we can express our gratitude to you by closing this call early. We would like to continue our conversation with you during the regularly scheduled call next Tuesday. We will accept, as you know, comments on the update document until 17 UTC today. So we're going to publish the document as announced, and we're looking forward to continuing the conversation with you next Tuesday. Thanks, everyone, and bye for today.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.